Listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, Bactrian, Hamish.
Bactrian.
Bactrian.
Bactrian. Sorry, fully charged if I'm a Bactrian. No. TBC if I'm a Bactrian.
Bactrian. Ahoy to me, dromedary.
Ahoy.
Oh, camels.
He's got
Are
it.
Are we really?
He's got it.
Yes.
That
Sorry,
is...
Oh, Bactrian. Yes.
Well, how come you knew what... That it was a dromedary.
Is that a two hump or a one hump?
That is
one
single hump.
Single humper.
Yep. Yes.
And a camel is a classic double humper.
Bactrian camel, which is you, aka a Mongolian camel, two humps.
And let me guess, some sort of exotic triple humper. The king of camels.
Heavily domesticated. Dromedary, they one hump. Single humper, but yep. They're the tallest of the three camel species. I'm the wild Bactrian. Very endangered.
The mythical.
Less than...
Legend has it, how many are left?
1,000. Not legend.
Less than 1,000.
They think 1,000 left in the wild.
Well, then it is legend.
is legend assume that it's not true?
Well, I mean, I'm probably being a bit rough there on scientific estimates, but I think it would be fun to replace any estimate in science with legend has it.
true. Also, ahoy to Jonathan, who used the very easy-to-use system at hamishnandy.com. Tell us what he's been up to.
Ahoy, numbers 1 through 6. Jonathan here with some pro bono legal advice. Each year, you seem to spend countless hours and dollars fighting the tyranny of the government-mandated break when all you have to do is treat the podcast as a hobby. There's no such thing as a government-mandated hobby break. Jack had it right all along. Smarter, not harder. Keep pumping out content.
Mate, thank you, but I could never do that.
Yeah.
Too professional.
Too professional, aren't you?
Too professional. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to, Jack. I'd love to sit at your weasel pod and learn from you and just take some tips on how to take it less seriously. But
you can still approach a hobby professionally.
Oh, yeah.
When do you think you might start?
Haim, you and I wanted to kick off the show with something.
We did. Speaking of hobbies, Jacko, and weaseling, as it happens.
We need to chat to our mate Jacko. We mentioned at the top of the year this season that there was a few things that we thought would leave behind.
Yep. EP241, one of the things that popped up, Jack, already the look of disdain, one of the things that popped up was Mr. Ralph. The mysterious legend has it.
Yes.
The mysterious figure that is known only to your wife's mum.
Yeah, your mother.
And he resides somewhere in America. Yes. He's able to get you dirt cheap / free business class.
Do you have some in the canon at the moment?
Yes.
Ready to fly?
We're ready to go in July, the break this year.
And they're secured?
The terror.
They're secured, yeah.
The terror that washes through your veins every time we mention Mr. Ralph. Unfortunately for you, last year Mr. Ralph became quite funny to talk about.
Mm.
And that's alarm bells for Jacko. Mm.
Because but anything, like lots of things that are funny come to an end. Seinfeld was very funny, but they brought it to an end. And I felt like Mr. Ralph had run his course of funniness.
We agree.
You know what? I know you probably think we're going the other way here, but we absolutely hear you.
Mm.
And we were like, look, don't get us wrong. We still find it very amusing to dig and to speculate as to who this guy is.
But it's a hot spot for the whole family. I've since spoken to Bianca, your wife.
Yeah.
She's...
We get it, man.
She didn't formally send a cease and desist letter, but the tone of voice was definitely of
that. It wasn't two thumbs up, go, we're all loving this over here on our side.
No, dear, it wasn't that.
Yeah. So we hear you. We want to put up a lid on it.
Yep.
In fact, we kind of want to right our wrongs, and we think that this should do it, if you'll allow us to play this, Jacko. Hi, Hamish and Andy here, and over the last few months, we've had a lot of fun examining just how Jack is able to get free business class flights to and from America for him and his wife.
The source being, of course, a mysterious figure known only to Jack's mother-in-law, who goes by the name Mr. Ralph.
No matter what angle we tried to discover Mr. Ralph's true identity, Jack remained tight-lipped, which is not surprising, as tightness is the main reason he enjoys the fruits of Mr. Ralph's special tickets in the first place.
Mr. Ralph, like Kaiser Soze and all good enigmatic shadow figures, proved notoriously hard to track down. And as our digging deepened, so too did Jack's anxiety that all this very good-natured probing would create the one thing Mr. Ralph doesn't want. Attention.
If Mr. Ralph becomes too talked about, Jack fears,
probably with merit,
that Mr. Ralph will catch wind of it in America and shut down the freebie bonanza Jack and his wife so deliriously consume, forcing Jack to pay full whack for plane tickets, like everybody else.
A nightmare scenario for him.
Now, fun is fun, but we hear you, Jacko. No one wants to see a hard-working young weasel lose his greatest weasel prize simply because it's funny to keep talking about Mr. Ralph.
So, starting today, we are taking the I Will Never Mention Mr. Ralph oath.
By taking the I Will Never Mention Mr. Ralph oath, we are pledging to not only stop mentioning Mr. Ralph, but encouraging others to do the same.
That's why, as of today, at hamishandandy.com, you can buy our most serious and important T-shirt yet, the I Will Never Mention Mr. Ralph T-shirt, to show that you too have taken the oath and, no matter what, will not talk about Mr. Ralph anymore.
We dream of a society where we all wear the I Will Never Mention Mr. Ralph T-shirt and we can all never mention Mr. Ralph together.
So, get your limited edition T-shirt today. Get some for friends who like oaths too. And show that by never mentioning Mr. Ralph, you're not just a listener who keeps their ears open, you keep your f***ing mouth shut too.
From now on, no more mentioning Mr. Ralph. Ever.
Except, of course, when promoting T-shirts, which has a net benefit to long-term Mr. Ralph silence.
Here we go, Jacko.
You're welcome.
Joke or real?
Real.
The T-shirts.
Yeah.
Very real. They're awesome. They're actually my favourite T-shirt we've ever done.
You can go to hamishandandy.com now.
They're great.
And join this pledge.
Join it. Don't just one. Say I'm not going to mention Mr. Ralph. Prove it by wearing the T-shirt.
We're also got a little drop-down bar encouraging people to tell us where they won't mention Mr. Ralph. It could be a family function. For instance, I've got my family coming around. I'm not going to mention Mr. Ralph to them.
Hey, what's with the T-shirt? Nope.
No.
Okay, I'll tell you quickly, but you then have to promise not to mention Mr. Ralph.
Big print on the T-shirt or small?
No, you'll be massive. Pleased to know. This is
boy, it's obvious.
We thought that's a worry.
Yeah.
So what we've actually done is printed it on the inside of the T-shirt.
It's actually you can still see it very, very clearly, but it's almost like the shadow of the print. Behind it. So it's not attention seeking. Yeah, it's actually a cool method. As I said, it's my favourite T-shirt we've ever done.
We've printed it on the inside, so when you're wearing it, you will know it. Turns out we printed it on like a light grey T-shirt.
Still clearly so see you can clearly see it from the outside.
Oh, so just a
go
mistake.
To the website to check
just
it
just a mistake.
And one last thing, does it ship overseas or should we keep it out of the US?
Oh,
I think it can probably go good to have the silence in the US too. We don't want people talking about Mr. Ralph over there.
That's where we want it the most.
That's where we want the most silence.
Because that's where he might hear about it.
We should dump them over Miami from a light aircraft.
We don't know where he is. We don't know where he is.
We suspect he's in that area. I mean, it's a big place. We'd probably dump them over the whole of Florida.
Oh, all right.
Wonder if you could organise a SpaceX launch from Cape Canaveral to deliberately explode just as it's off the coast with a prevailing wind and a whole cargo of T-shirts would just waft across Florida.
Like we said, though, it's only to make sure everyone is properly informed that we're
like,
buttoning this up.
Yeah, people say, like, once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't put it back in. I think we can. This is a huge global effort to squash that genie back in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Take the oath.
And I assume
shut your mouth.
Now that you've taken the oath, this will be the last mention of it on the show.
Absolutely. Yes. Except as we said in the sort of the fast print there, unless we're promoting the T-shirt to encourage more Mr. Ralph silence, because we do feel in our hearts that will have a net long-term benefit to keeping a lid on the Mr. Ralph thing. So you've got to mention it a little to get a lot of silence.
Exactly.
Little
one
for
step,
a lot.
One step back.
Little for a lot, like the airfare deal. Don't worry, it ain't going nowhere. This T-shirt thing should knock it on the head. And over the mandated break, I had a few incidents that worried me And I'm going to put it out on the podcast in case anyone had the same situation or if it was just an unfortunate occurrence for me.
So is it?
I want to see if this is a trend.
Okay.
Here's my hypothesis. I think spiders, and I don't know if this is climate change related or whatever, spiders are getting more ballsy. Huntsmen in particular.
Really?
Mate, the situation with huntsmen used to be, I'm arachnophobic, so I'm very, very scared of them. But I always knew that the ace I still theoretically knew I had in my back pocket was I am
human.
Human, and I will beat you if you had to look at our trump card stats. I have more chance in a fight than you do, even though I'm terrified.
As Pokemon, you get him for
great,
strength.
Yep, exactly. My attacks are better. Yep. My health points are better. Yeah. My power-ups are better. Jack, are we in the ballpark there?
Pretty good.
Yeah, well, I learned it all off my son. So that's the thing. But now spiders, I've had three instances where I've had a ballsy huntsman.
What are they doing?
I'll go in order of terror.
Okay.
The first one, because I use the bug assault, right? I use it on huntsmen. Yeah, it's actually really good for huntsmen.
Wow.
Got to watch in Sydney, because I live in Sydney, the humidity actually makes the salt clog up a bit.
Right.
So you can either put rice in it like some cafes do to stop it clumping.
Yeah.
Or you just got to make sure you use fresh salt, because otherwise when the salt is sticky, it obviously like doesn't go into the weapon.
When we say bug assault,
sorry, the bug assault is a shotgun that fires iodized table salt at flies predominantly, but it can also kill cockroaches, like armor piercing.
Really?
Hit them in the right angle. And then huntsmen's. I quite like it because
the only hunting that this show endorses.
Yeah. Happy to hunt with the bug assault. Quite like it because concurrently to spiders getting ballsier, I think one of the great lies in the marketing world is fast-acting bug spray.
Yeah.
Fast-acting on a fly. Even on flies, it's not fast knockdown. Yeah. They zoom around like mad for a while.
Yeah.
Like, where's the poison? Well, maybe it's not safe for humans, but where's the poison where you literally spray it and they are dead in the next second?
Because my Beck is also arachnophobic, and she doesn't like the spray on a huntsman because they seem
it pumps them up.
Pumps them up. It's
like going. You go to the drawer and it's going fast action kill spray. I go, okay, spray it. Then they start doing the dance all over the wall. They could come at you. That's what we hate about them.
Yeah.
Where's the spray where it's like spray dead?
But how close do you have to get with the bug assault? I wouldn't have thought you'd like being that close.
You have to get a little close quarters, but at least with the right hit, it can kill them quickly. And then when they shrink into that shriveled up maneuver,
yes,
then you know you've got them.
Yep.
So first instance was like outside the bedroom window, right? I had that moment where I saw a huntsman on the glass. I was like, uh-oh, inside or outside? Realized just from the shape of the spider, I was like, okay, it's outside. As if it saw me, it then went, like we got slide up, slide down windows. It went to the next door to have a try.
To get in?
Yeah. And then went along to one that was open. Started crawling along.
Criminal checking all the windows.
It saw me and was like, all right, we're on. I'm coming in. And I slammed the window and was like, what was that all about? He saw me see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I sort of put that in my mind because once they see it outside, I put a lot of faith in birds. I'm like, bird will get him, so that's fine.
Or he can just live.
honestly, not on my property.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Next one, the garage, right?
Yeah, Beck doesn't like me when I take them outside.
Why? They're coming straight back in.
Yeah, Beck does not like it, so change the policy.
Shot one in the garage with the bug assault, right? It shriveled up, okay? Shriveled up.
That's it. That's normally the indication. It was like a dog wagging its tail for happiness. The shrivel up is normally life has left them.
Yeah.
It was in a web, right? And I pumped another round into it. I was like, and it's like bouncing around in the web.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, you're done.
Yeah.
I'm still, because people that are scared of spiders, it's still, you're not going up there to like get it with tissue or whatever. I was just like, I'll just leave that for now and maybe later I can get it with a broom or something. Take the bug assault back inside. Then I did a few other things. Going back into the garage to then drive out, just, you know, for peace of mind, look up just to clock the corpse, right? It's gone. Okay. So they're getting sneaky.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Not only that, but I saw him moving away, like out the crease of the garage.
Right.
So it's like, So they know to play dead now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new trick, isn't it?
That's very much a new trick. That's what we're meant to do with bears are around.
So, maybe they saw The Revenant or something and they were watching through the window and then they're telling everyone, this guy Leo, he actually won the Oscar for it. This is a really good tactic. Anyway, third one. This is the wildest one. I'm on my toilet, at my house, toilet near the kitchen.
Yes.
Next to the laundry.
Yep.
No one was home. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just sometimes when you live in a house with like kids, wife, everything, a little bit of a treat to home. I'm actually never allowed to go in that toilet.
No, not normally your domain.
It's the ground floor.
Yeah.
But I knew I had the house to myself for a few hours. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to treat myself. I'm gonna do a gone in 60 minutes, and I'm gonna poo. Not only am I gonna go in this toilet, which I'm usually never allowed to sit down on.
Yep.
I've done wheeze in it, but it's very rare I sit down on it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go here, door open.
Yeah.
do you know that, Jack?
Yeah, when you're home alone, I don't know why it's a treat, but it feels like a treat.
Yeah, just like finally. I think because when you have kids, you've bought this house, but then you cede all control.
Yes, exactly.
So you're just like, I did everything to get this house, or Zoe and I did everything to get this house, and as the grown-ups, we're actually I'm the lowest of the food chain. Somehow I'm the lowest on the food chain, even though I felt like I did quite a lot to put ourselves here.
My status on my card, my family card.
So it's kind of a protest poo.
It's not emerald.
it's a protest poo without doing it on the floor. It's not that level of protest, but it's more just like, you know what? For now, I'm the king of the castle, as long as no one else is home and can challenge the throne. Anyway, so I'm in that mindset. Like, I'm enjoying myself. I'm on my phone, just in dad heaven. I see something out of the corner of my eye. So the orientation is the door's open and you can see into the laundry.
Yeah.
I see something out of the corner of my eye and my brain doesn't even register it for a second because I thought it must be the reflection of my watch maybe. Sometimes you see that like on the wall or something because it moves quite fast. But it's black, like brownie black. And my gaze goes over. It's a huntsman, not moving, running, Andy. Yeah. Like Liam Neeson. Like Tom Cruise in his movies. Yeah. Like
running. Fast arms.
Yeah, fast arms. Jack could never do this. Certainly not at the start of the year. Yeah. Like, just like sprinting.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen one, but like it sort of moves up on its sort of tippy toes. This is just making my skin crawl. Think about it. Running, so it runs out of running out of the laundry.
Yeah.
Like maybe it knows that at this, because remember, this time of day, usually no one's home.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they know when we're out.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, let's get into position. Like that was my first thought. He's sprinting in. He thinks the house is unattended. Sprints out of the laundry. Again, sees me looking at him, just terrified. Takes a beeline and runs at me.
While you're on the toilet.
At me, Andy. Like at my feet, right? Which has got like shorts around the ankles. I was like, I can't believe this. I had to leap off the toilet over. He ran at me. He charged me.
He got you in a vulnerable position.
It's not like running with the bulls. But I was like a rodeo clown having to leap him like a spider clown. So I leaped him and I ran out into the kitchen like naked with my pants around my ankles, no longer king of the castle. I just was like, what was that? And I was kind of like traumatized and very vulnerable, like pants down around your ankles like a three-year-old. I mean, and then had to kind of like, all right, just like waddled off to the upstairs toilet. So like completely demoted.
Yeah.
Can you remember I was like, I'm the top of the food chain because no one else is around, and literally a spider came in the house and I sank back to second. Had to go off the toilet and then had to go and, fish out the bugger salt and go and hunt him.
Did you find him?
Out of the toilet. Yeah. Yeah, look, it's a story for another. I know this has gone long, but I pumped around into him and you don't hit him every, it doesn't disable him. It doesn't kill him every time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a draw with how the salt spreads.
Yeah.
I hit him and I shocked him and he ran around behind the sink.
No, he's there.
Well, then I got the allegedly fast kill stuff out and it was like a disco in there. It was so misty. Flooded it.
Yeah.
Closed the door.
And let the product do its work.
Yeah, just assumed that no one's coming out of there alive. But they're ballsy. Mm. Something's going on.
Mm.
I don't like it.
And you'll never use that toilet again regardless now.
I could never, I'll never be able to sit there again without remembering the sprint. He ran at me.
Haim, I got back from a quick trip to the States a couple of weeks ago.
You did.
And you know the game I like to play.
We all like to play it, Andy. Whenever any of us go overseas, we like to share famous celeb sightings, be it in Los Angeles and James Corden for you, I think, one time, or be it in Copenhagen and Bruce Springsteen's almost almost definitely Bruce Springsteen's wife. It doesn't matter where we are,
popular.
We what the capital city. If there's celebs, we'll see them. We'll turn it into a game.
So, yes, my game has been easy to pick, you would say, because I normally go top
I think people like the Danish version, the switcher.
Danish Bruce Springsteen's wife version. Mm. Anyway.
Don't forget I saw her twice.
I've got one sighting from New York. And
you seem to be moving on, sir.
One sighting in New York and one sighting in LA. Let's play Who Did I See? First clue. I'm not related to Bruce Springsteen.
Damn it.
Could be anyone.
No one famous. Already we've lost a big scalp.
I was hugely famous in the 2000s with my sister.
Mary-Kate Olsen.
Is it an Olsen? No, that was earlier than the thousands. And she's still very famous now.
No, not an Olsen. Here's a new clue. Probably
gives Is it an American personality?
Probably gives Hamish a slight advantage. Hamish and Andy travelled down to Anglesey to do a workshop during a summer to work up a show for Channel 7 that could potentially be a special on this person.
Oh. That's impossible for me to get.
We didn't go to Anglesey for that, did we? Or didn't we just discuss it during a trip to Anglesey?
No, I think we took.
It's Nicky Hilton, and you know, just a quick tip for any young entertainers in their 20s who are thinking of doing a special for Nicky Hilton. Number one, you don't need to travel. Traveling won't help you get a better idea for the Nicky Hilton special.
I'm struggling to understand what the TV show would be about.
Paris Hilton and Nicky Hilton were huge at the
time.
They
were big.
There was a director called John who said to us, hey, I've got access. This is how things happen. We were 22 years old or something.
Yeah. We'd been axed from Channel 7, so immediately you're on the back foot, right? So we'd had our first TV show, like it lasted 5 episodes or something. So you're on the back foot.
Six. Come
Desperate.
On, mate.
Sorry, six. Got axed after 5, but we were allowed to air the 6.
Yes. I pretend it was a short run niche series.
Because, so we were allowed to record her. That's it, guys. Try and pretend that was it.
We always planned for 6 episodes, obviously.
We took the British approach. Yep.
Very a boutique hit. And so then it was like, listen, you know, you guys are short on options. Because if we said, what about a funny show with Hamish and Andy? They go, well, we just tried one of those. You guys need a new angle. And so, there was a guy that it wasn't even solid, was it? But at the time we thought it was.
He said, I've got a connection to Nicky Hilton.
He was also the director from our show. And he was like, well, I'd like a job too. So he's like,
so he's got a friend of a friend knows Nicky.
It was like, I have access
to
Nicky Hilton. We could do a half hour special that would be big. And we were like, okay,
we'll come back to you with some ideas. We better take an easel and some butcher's paper down to Anglesey.
If you can't think of ideas in the room, traveling to a seaside location is most likely not going to help. And I wonder how far through the first sheet of butcher's paper before someone in the room had the guts to put their hand up and go, what if we don't want to do this?
No,
could that be? Could we put that in one column on the butcher's paper? Can we do a little Venn diagram of things we don't want to do and see if all of our feelings overlap with that? Yeah. Anyway, good one, Anna. So how's Nikki going these days? Where'd you see her? How'd you see her?
She's walking. She's still walking. I saw her walking.
That was going to be the intro of the special. How does she do it? Nikki, Hamish and Andy present Nikki Hilton in Bipedal.
So walking through Soho in fairly good walking pace, quicker than others crossing the road.
Maybe there was a special. You're right. just hearing you say this, this is good.
Okay, we move now to Los Angeles. First clue. I'm again not related to Bruce Springsteen.
Damn it, I'm out.
I have a ripped body though. that has recently been seen on a beach in a movie. Very, very big movie. Probably the biggest movie of last year.
Is June a beach? There's a lot of sand in June.
Barbie. Okay. Barbie. Is it Beach Barbie? That was the biggest movie of last year.
Maybe it's the year before. Okay.
Okay, so it's not Barbie?
There was not Barbie. There was,
this is the gauze. This is huge.
There was a lot of rumours about me or this person dating Sydney Sweeney when he shot out in...
Oh, Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell.
GP.
I don't think I know who Glenn Powell is.
Glennie. The Powell. Chairman Powell.
He was the hangman in Maverick alongside Tom Cruise.
Yes. Amongst many other things, Mike could slide me, if he's quick enough, on his IMDb.
You were about to do a half-hour special on Glenn Powell.
We were going
to
do a Channel 31 show on Glenn Powell.
So I'm standing waiting for a car.
Oh, still standing.
Don't think it would have been Uber
Hilton
Eats
v. Powell, walking v. standing. Who will come off best? Gosh, all we need now is for you to have seen one sitting and you'll have nailed three celebrities doing some of the three most common body actions.
Lot shorter than you think. Lot shorter than you think. They would not have had to put the seat forward in his fighter plane.
Let's not forget, when I ran into Bruce Springsteen's wife twice, I actually had a conversation with her. We hung out in the lift. Mm. Then we had a bit of fun at the buffet. Mm. None of this walk and sit and standing stuff.
Yeah, that's because she's not a celebrity.
This ain't moving the needle,
she's
kid.
She's probably a middle-aged woman.
We did have to kick her out of our Uber.
Jack to anyone.
Only room for five at the Lego Museum. Sorry, bye.
Time for one more.
Okay.
As soon as I saw her, this song started playing in my head.
Oh, I know that. Oh, it's White Lotus. Someone from White Lotus.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jack's got it.
Yeah. I haven't even seen White Lotus.
You haven't seen anything, mate.
No, I don't watch a lot. Because I've got a baby. There's
no,
so hard.
I never take you around, kid. You're just
and
playing
two
chess.
Kittens. Name something you've seen. I bet you can't.
I saw Oppenheimer.
Oh,
I've seen Oppenheimer.
Well done.
When?
Jennifer Coolidge.
At the cinema.
Okay. She Name was... something you've seen, like a popular film you've watched at home.
No, I'd never watch a movie at home. Never.
Unbelievable.
Just don't have the time to.
What do you watch then?
Sometimes like a half-hour Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Yeah. Have you done Succession?
Yes, loved Succession.
Thank you. Okay, something. Some touch point for the audience to go, this man knows about television.
Jennifer Coolidge. Standing. Sorry.
Didn't get a sitting.
I did not get a sitting. Stand at the lights on Sunset Strip, covered head to toe, gloves, scarf, wide-brimmed hat, obviously very sun
probably not her.
Conscious.
Probably not her. Andy's last day in New York. Shit, haven't got a who did I see for the boys. Probably pass that off as Jennifer Coolidge.
It was definitely Jennifer. It wasn't like when you saw six Guy Sebastians at lookalikes in one day.
Three on one block. How? Ando.
Mm.
Last week on the show, last week?
Yes.
An exciting offer was put forth to the people.
Oh, yes.
I thought we'd
have submissions. There have been a
boy, have we ever. Well, I thought we'd have a dribble. We have had a genuine flow.
Yep. Wouldn't say it's cascade.
It's not a torrent. No, that would be everyone. But dozens and dozens, verging on quite a few. I would say roughly in the 50 zone, right? Which is more than I thought we'd get for this. We're of course referring to the two white tiger mascot heads that I own that arrived some months late.
Yes.
From Temu or Shein. I can't remember which site I used. But one of the powerful Chinese shopping sites who, I can't complain, certainly do offer a wide range of products at insane prices.
Yes.
But I can't, hand on heart, say that they're going to arrive on the day they say they're going to arrive because they're a couple of months late. So I have two well-traveled white tiger mascot heads. The fancy dress party I needed them for has long gone.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that they should go to waste. The call was put out to the listeners. Do you want them? If you do, you must submit your request to the tune of Eye of the Tiger.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, have I enjoyed listening to these.
I just kept flicking them to you. I didn't listen to them because I know this was your realm. One question I did have for you, Ham, off the bat, and you may be revealed as you're going to play a few, I'm sure. There was discussion as to whether are they doing the dun, 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 dun part or are they doing the actual verse, you know.
No, I thought, and this is addressed in this package, this audio package that sort of as we narrate through them, I thought I had just said go straight to
the chorus.
Chorus. I thought I did say that, but anyway, not everyone took that on board. I've had to whittle them down, but I think this gives us a scope of who's entered and who ultimately will be walking away with those White Tiger mascot heads. Well, Tiger fans, it has been a huge week of sifting through some very, very good submissions for people wanting the White Tiger mascot heads. The musical quality and lyrical flair has been exceptional.
I want a tiger for my bedside table. Yeah, I want to turn it into a lamp.
Now, as we all know, a fake White Tiger head is a very, very special and versatile item. So an airtight case must be made to own one.
And therefore,
I must be harsh on judging the submissions.
I need them for my silly Saturday. I know that it's a little while away.
I want the tiger head for no reason at all. I will wear it around my house.
Dating apps are pretty dire, but with tiger head they can look like a thought. I want the tiger. Okay, I'm giving up now.
I want the head of the tiger for my footy club. We are the Canning Tigers in Perth, WA.
It's a lovely thought, but I googled the Canning Tigers, like most footy teams, are an orange tiger-based team. It's worth mentioning that honesty was often used as a policy, and I appreciated it.
Hey, Mish, I want the tiger head that's the colour white, but I don't really need it, I'm a weasel.
New mom, I really need the cash, Facebook Marketplace, $50 a weekend. I want the tiger.
I actually thought I said chorus only in the conditions, but that does seem to have been routinely ignored by a lot of entrants, so maybe I didn't.
I blame number 6 for this part. This is his fault. Much love.
Look, I was never going to award this on music production alone, but I will admit higher production value was soothing to this tiger's ears after a fair few raw a cappellas. So special mention to Nathan, who grabbed his guitar.
For logistical purposes, I can take just one or them both. That's if Jack doesn't try sell them first. I want the tiger.
However, it was a well-produced song, including some vocal mixing, that yielded our first winner.
Because we want the tiger for our D&D nights, to dress up like a snow leopard to backseat. That's my girlfriend's character that is a humanoid cat, and we swear we take them off us when the night falls. Just for Dungeons and Dragons, and we swear nothing but all night long good PG rated fun with the tiger.
I'm not exactly clear on some of the Dungeons & Dragons terms yet, but those guys were very good, and they are getting just one of the tiger heads, which I believe, still with some imagination, could lead to some weird bedroom stuff if that's what they want. That left one tiger head remaining to award from by far the most popular category, which was people wanting to scare other people.
I want the tiger cause I've got 3 small boys and I'm looking for ways to make them fear me.
Hide in the garden, give them a hell of a fright, because I will be wearing the head of a tiger.
The scare submissions went on thick and fast, but there could be only one winner from the scare category, and the ultimate recipient of the second head, and it's Ronnie.
Cause I'd love the tiger head to scare the crap out of my partner, it'd be funny. We're expecting a baby soon, so I'd love to be a giant pregnant tiger jumping out the cupboard.
So there's a pregnant woman who's going to be jumping out of a bedroom wearing the tiger head with a baby in her, and two D&D enthusiasts jumping into a bedroom wearing a tiger head to maybe put a baby inside them. The circle of life continues. It's not the same as Lion King because it's a different big cat, but it works.
Great choices.
Oh,
great,
outstanding.
Great choices. I mean, it's to grab a line from every single Talent Quest show. Everyone performed so well.
They did perform
That's
so well.
That's got to be such a hard decision.
It was,
I,
Andrew.
I wish
and
we had more heads to give out. But.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? We might end the year with a White Tiger Blitz. But I think the musical submission process really livens the game up. And I'm not. And I know there's heaps and heaps and heaps of history and shit with the Nobel people. But if you could, if you'd look at it for 1 year, I think you'd enjoy the submissions a lot more if you're running the Nobel Prizes, if you did a musical. Yeah.
Oh, just, yeah. You know. And then
Albert Einstein, he's a hell of a guy. Funny hair, but a big brain.
I loved that our winner, I mean, perfect choice for the winner, but the only lyric, which is Eye of the Tiger at the end, she changed to Out of a Cupboard.
You got to love someone that, you know, breaks down the norms.
Hey, you mentioned during the week that whenever I'm joining a meeting via Zoom, it looks like I'm on the TV show Hunted because I've got a different background and I'm coming from a different location.
I'm like, what has happened, Ando? Would you like to talk about it with the group?
I don't have a house.
You always sit furthest from the door in here.
I don't have a house at the moment. People may remember last year I was in an apartment. We're renting it. It got flooded. Because they went to do a fire hydrant check. They forgot it was uncapped. They pumped thousands of litres a second into the house. And the guy that
pressure is good, cap is bad. Yes. Sort of the two things on the check there.
And the apprentice that was doing it caused quite a kerfuffle. Have I told you that every single resident has moved out? It ruined every single apartment. 12
well, it doesn't surprise
stories.
Me it was like the Hoover Dam burst in, like on the top floor. You couldn't have designed a better flood, basically. It was almost like they installed that as a flooding tap.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, Jack, help jog my memory here, but on the episode where Andy was like carefully relaying the circumstances around The Apprentice, was he perhaps hinting that it was The Apprentice's problem, or was he, Andy, like going, oh, it's not this guy's fault, or there was some conjecture,
We reached out to see if they'd like to come on.
And he'd rather not have a laugh about it.
The boss said we're not ready to laugh about that. And then when we realised that we see more and more people packing their things and leaving and the place has been closed.
It's still not funny yet.
Since last year to try and restore it, still not funny yet. I'll check back in with them.
Might still be, the humour scale might still even be dropping. It might not have dipped yet.
So I was away when that happened, right? Which is great. Beck was like, that's
for
it.
You.
For me. Beck was like, that's it. We're moving out, right, at the time. We were the top floor, so it all just went down everyone underneath. They've had to move out straight away because it was ceilings, walls, floors, everything. We had a lot of drying stuff in the house for a while and we hadn't had to move out yet, but we've since as you're about to find out, have moved out. The next thing that happened was a gas pipe burst.
In the same building or new building?
Same building. So we stayed while others moved out. As I said to Hamish at the time, I hate moving. It's a real rigmarole. And I wasn't there for the original flood, so I'll go.
It's just some squelchy floors and that's
exactly.
You were hoping to double down on, no, come on, this place will be great.
They've sorted it all out. Gas pipe burst. Beck had no hot water and no cooking for 5 days. I was away on a golf trip.
to quote a friend, good news for me. It was great.
I actually don't even think he said good news for me. I think he just said it's like good news
that
there.
That was great. I think he said that was great.
2 weeks later, I get back. I had 1 day of no gas. And I was like, poor it's not thing. That bad, you know, invigorating shower, you know, have a cold shower. And she's not having it. She wants to move out. I'm like, no. It's going to be
triple
fine.
Triple down.
I go away again. The lift breaks. So Beck has to walk up and down 12 flights of stairs. She rings, goes, we're out of here. But at the moment, it's a situation where the house hasn't really done anything wrong to me while I've been in it. It's kind of
we're gathered. You've actually been having a great time.
You know, a guy goes up to you and goes, why do you hang out with Dave? He's a bit of a dick. It's like, oh, he's pretty
every
good to
time
me.
I see him.
Yeah, he's pretty funny to us.
So
this house has real trouble with anything in encased in a tube, doesn't it? Like, yes, whether it's a lift, a water, a gas, it just can't contain things. Or residents, it turns out. It's leaking residents.
So Beck puts pressure on me again, and I'm like, no. They're sorting it all out. The next people are going to rent.
Any rent reduction at this stage? Because
I mean,
it's not really a battle. Jack, trust me,
yep.
He will not leave that battle no. without.
And actually, that's another thing he likes. I bet he's getting enjoyment from that battle.
and this is music to Andy's ear. Yeah. Not only is he putting for birdie on the seventh, but he's just found out he's got another card to play when he gets around to emailing the body corporate.
So,
what a day.
Then
couldn't wipe the grin off his face. That was great news. Beck's having an absolute mare at the apartment. I've got this guy
I got
dead
more
to rights.
Got more ammunition. Very true, actually. So then we're 2 days before Christmas, the building gets robbed. Burglars came in. We drove back from the beach, got there. They'd actually stolen a lot of things from other apartments, but ours remained untouched. So again, Dave has not been a dick to me.
Too far to walk up the stairs to yours.
Yeah. Yes. My luck ran out just a few weeks ago. The apartment flooded again. No fire hydrant issue, just the ceiling-based ceiling seal well, issue.
It's like if this was in the Old Testament, you had definitely angered God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like plague upon plague has, like, what have you done, Andy?
So now Beck's going, see, Dave is a bit of a dick. You saw him last night. I'm like,
this is
right.
The sort of thing and Dave does like, all the time.
This is what we've been talking to you about. I still want to stay.
No, five strikes, that's enough.
How many strikes?
Well, the thing.
Jack, you're spot on. This is 100% because you're enjoying the power struggle with the body corporate.
No, it's not. It's just that moving, I feel like they're going
to
sort it
you've got nothing left to move. All your stuff's ruined.
It's like it's wet inside your house. It's like when we went on adventures with my dad and it would rain and we're like, oh, let's go home. He's like, no, this is good. We love being out here in the rain. This is good.
There's a little bit of that.
Dad, there's a gas leak in the tent.
I'm going to hold firm.
And what will it take?
A fire. is the answer.
It's very hard. Your house is completely damp. You live in a wet sponge.
Exactly.
So you guys have to have a hell of a... You're going to have to put a lot of lighter fluid on the walls if you want to get that thing cooking. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.